Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is Bible Call tape number 60, Acceptable Giving. What is acceptable giving? Besides the half shekel which every male was to give, the law of Moses required everyone to give a tenth of his total income. There were no exemptions or deductions, in addition with the numerous sacrifices and gifts to the poor. In the New Covenant, however, the Lord mentions no specific amount which we are to give. Instead, from the moment we become Christians, we ourselves belong completely to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul says, "Ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price." And Peter, in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, says, "We were redeemed, or bought again, not with silver or gold, but with precious blood, even the blood of Christ." That as Lord, our bodies and minds, our abilities, and whatever comes into our possession. In Acts 4, verse 32, it is said of the Christians at Pentecost that not one of them said that the things which he possessed was his own, but many sold their possessions to supply the needs of others. Since our bodies, minds, abilities, and possessions are actually all gifts from God, we are, in reality, stewards of his bounty to use what he entrusts to us as he directs. It is evident that a part of what he gives us must be used for our living expenses. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 31 and 32, that the Lord knows we have need of food, clothing, and other necessities of life. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "If any man provideth not for his own, and especially for his household, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever." But apart from our necessary living expenses is that portion of God's gifts which should be invested in the advancement of his kingdom. A part of this must support the work and service of each local congregation and our missionaries both at home and abroad. A part also might support homes for children and the aged, schools for the education of young people, or any other good work which we believe the Lord would approve. In Matthew 25, the Lord says that our entrance into heaven may depend on the service we have given to those in every kind of, from hunger and sickness to being in prison. But the question is, how much of our time, how much of our energies and possessions should be used for our living expenses, and how much should be devoted directly to the Lord's work? That's left up to our own consciences and our best judgment. But in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, the Apostle says, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In the end, therefore, God will judge as to how faithfully we have fulfilled our stewardship and how rightly we have used our abilities and our possessions." I have known those who, like Israel, gave a tenth of their income to the Lord. But I have known others who have given the major part of their income and managed to live on the remainder. The decision is for each one of us to make. But there are three principles which may aid in that decision. First, a man should give in proportion to what he has, and also as he plans or purposes in his heart. In chapter 8, verse 12 of his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle says that their giving is acceptable according as a man hath, not according as he hath not. And in chapter 9, verse 7, that each man should do according as he hath purposed in his heart. Giving as a man hath means in proportion to his income. You'll recall in the parable of the talents, the two-talent man is not expected to accomplish as much as the five-talent man. It is perfectly acceptable also to give in unexpected emergencies or on sudden impulse, as the Samaritan helped the man by the wayside. But the Lord also wants us to plan or purpose in our hearts our regular giving in proportion to the measure with which we ourselves have been blessed. In the second place, the Lord, in Romans 12, verse 8, urges us to give with liberality. In Luke 6, Jesus states a universal truth: "Give, and it shall be given to you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. In Matthew 10, verse 8, he says to his disciples, freely ye have received, freely give. God is, after all, the giver of all that we are and have, and it is impossible to give to him more than we receive. Nor is it apparently possible to give too much, for the more we give, the more we receive. When Peter and the disciples had given all to follow him, what then would they receive? Jesus said, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake, and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Luke 10, verses 29 and 30. In all his encouragement to giving, Jesus is speaking not to merely of money, which, though very important, is probably the least fruitful gift we can make. When we visit the fatherless and the widows, as James urges, or minister to the strangers, the sick, and to those in prison, as Jesus urges, time, sympathy, understanding, and love may be even more helpful than money. And when we take the time to share with others the truths which we have learned, such giving is far more important than money. Finally, for giving to be acceptable, it should be done with gladness. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 and 7, the apostle says their gift should be a matter of bounty or generosity, and not of extortion, as if he were twisting it out of them. They should not give grudgingly or of necessity, that is, because they have to give, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God would not want a gift which is forced from anyone. Evidently, he would be far more pleased with a small gift made with joy than a larger gift given grudgingly. But to give of ourselves or of our means cheerfully always requires growth. In chapter 9, verse 8 of 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of giving as a grace. A grace is a virtue which has become so natural and easy as to be beautiful. He mentions the generosity of the Macedonians, where the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their generosity. For they besought us with much entreaty in regard of this grace, and the fellowship and the ministering to the saints. When people joyously press their gifts on others, as if others were doing them a favor by accepting them, they are giving with grace indeed. And Paul sends Titus to the Corinthians to complete in you this grace also. So we may conclude that in proportion to all that we have received, the fullest portion of our time, attention, love, and possessions, which we can purpose in our hearts to give with cheerfulness, that is acceptable giving. If that portion at first is small, with practice, it can become a grace in every life. Thank you for calling Bible Call.